Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Cheers!
Yay! Welcome to Drunk Shakespeare! Woohoo!
I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana.
And I'm drinking hard cider.
Yay. And I'm drinking something called a blueberry bramble. And I thought that would be fun.
Tell them what it is, darling.
It is just gorgeous, and it's this beautiful purple color. And I thought it would be fitting, because Richard is rather thorny himself, you know. So it has gin and blueberry and elderflower. Lovely.
And as we know, gin is called mother's milk.
Indeed.
In Britain.
That's right. And Richard would approve. Although he calls Richmond a milk sop. So maybe he would use him to mop up some of this. Yes.
There you are.
There we are. It all makes sense now.
Full circle.
Yes.
We've been drinking already, if you needed to
that's
know
right.
that.
If you couldn't
we were pre-drink, pre-gaming.
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 And catching up, which is nice.
Yes.
I'm still in my closet. And Erin is going to come visit me, and we're going to both record in my closet.
Yes, we are.
It'll be hilarious.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I love it. We're going to start Titus while I'm with Diana in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yes. And in fact, this morning, at the Shakespeare for All Club, which is presided over by Mr. Paul Edmondson, who is the director of the Shakespeare's Birthplace Trust, and Mr. Stanley Wells, Professor Sir Stanley Wells, excuse me very much, who is a very, very famous author in Shakespeare
very,
circles.
Very, very.
In Shakespeare circles, anyway. So it's very fun.
And you read?
And we read?
At
the Shakespeare.
At Shakespeare.
Library.
Yes,
Stratford-upon-Avon Library.
But in your Shakespeare for All Club, what did you read today, darling?
We read Titus, darling. It was such fun. Oh, yes.
Clink! Chin-chin!
Clink. Let's hear it for Titus. Whee!
Huzzah!
Huzzah. So in case you don't make it to the end, well, we will say it also here now. But of course you'll make it to the end. This is Richard. Richard, and we're finishing it. So you have to. But we will tell you that after this episode, we're going to take 1 week off, and then we're going to come back with Titus and season 3. What a way to kick it off.
Really, right? That's such a harbinger of things to come. I don't know.
I know, right?
Titus. Yeah. Maybe season 3 will be the bloody season.
The bloody, bloody season. Well, we already did
Mackers. We already did Mackers, but like if season 3 is the bloody season starting with Titus, then we can do some of the Henriad.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's blood in that.
We could at least do those. Henry 5. That would be fun.
Right, Henry 5.
Woohoo!
And I have to think, what haven't we done yet?
I know. We're so accomplished.
Are accomplished.
Dang it. Yeah, we are.
Dang it. Here we are. All right, let's get
Even
going because we're
Spotify tries to shut us down. Anyway.
But thank you for resolving it, Spotify.
Thank you, Spotify.
We're grateful, Spotify, for you resolving it quickly and painlessly.
We thought they were objecting to our fuckity fuckness, but it turned out we have no idea what they were objecting to. But anyway. So we were off the air for one day, for those of you who missed us.
We were gone!
That one of you who missed us? Yes. But we're back!
That you who missed us. Seth, I know you missed us.
We're back. And we're ready
to roll.
To kill him off. Oh.
Okay. Sad, sad, sad. Bye bye, Richard. Sad, sad,
sad. Sad. My very first note on this episode says, bummer.
Yeah. Sad, so, sad, sad. But your second note.
My second note is cool because Richard is, as I said a couple of times, that he's very revered in different parts of the country. And this is one of the things that they keep bringing up, is that he was the last English monarch to die in battle. And my note for that was, back when kings stood behind their decisions. Thank you very much. Yay. Drink to that.
Not that we're bad-mouthing Charles. We don't know enough about Charles to badmouth him yet.
Well, leaders in general who don't like put themselves to hazard when they are, you know, ordering thousands and thousands of troops to go out and have some stupid war. Here I am, soapbox. Hello.
Soapbox! Oh my God! Soapbox again!
Two episodes in a row! Preach, kick woman! It, preach!
Kick it!
Don't. No, but it's like, you know, they're not putting themselves in the line of fire, so they just order all these poor young people to go out there and stand in front of fucking fodder, you know, and be like, just pisses me off. So, yay, Richard, because he stood right there in front, and he's like, this is me, I'm defending my crown, and I'm gonna do it with my body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put his money where her mouth was.
That's right. Put his mother where her mouth was. Is that what you said?
No.
Yes, you did. You're going to play it back.
It wasn't funny.
No. It wasn't. You said mother. He should put his mother right there in the front lines. Put her out of her fucking misery.
Right. Finally. Enough with her.
Enough with her. Oi.
All right.
So, a little rundown of the real Battle of Bosworth before we get into it. It was quite the fight. So, they're all, like, arrayed, you know, like they used to do in olden timesy, you know, battles. They were all arrayed on the mountain, on the hillsides, you know, and, like, who's going to charge first? And Richmond's...
They were lined up.
Yeah.
They were lined up in lines.
Yeah.
And they marched forward.
And they saw each other's faces and all of that, you know, and they had certain strategies. Like, here are all the guys on the horse on the right side, you know, commanded by the Duke of Northumberland, who was an asshole and didn't bring them in at the end. But, and then there's Norfolk in the middle, who's like leading the vanguard, right? And then there's Richard right behind him, who's like, you get them, buddy, and if you don't, I will. And, Norfolk led this charge like straight into Oxford's. Oxford was on the other side because Richmond knew shit all about battles. So he's like, hey, Oxford, you've done this lots of times. You take the lead. And so Oxford was the one in charge of Richmond's guys. And Norfolk and Oxford, you know, big old clash and everything. And it looked bad. And Northumberland was signaled to come down to his aid. And he didn't. So Richard was like, fuck this. If I just go kill that little panty-waist bastard bitch, then I can end this shit.
Meaning Richmond.
Richmond. Yeah. I can end this shit. So he like made this crazy charge directly for Richmond. And what does Richmond do? He jumps off his horse and he goes, save me. And all of his bodyguards surrounded him. And he was like in the middle among horses so that they couldn't see him and like throw spears and shit at him. Richard like came within a sword's length of him. And that's when Stanley, that little motherfucker who was sitting off to the side, right, who was saying, I'm going to figure out when it's right for me to come in. That's when he came in to Richmond's defense. And his troops surrounded Richard. And Richard's horse got stuck in the bog. And that's why he's calling, famous line, horse, horse, my kingdom, and all that. And he surrounded them. And then this squadron of Welshmen was the closest to Richard and they killed him. And there's all these different Welshmen who take credit for, I'm the warden, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But it was brutal because when they dug up Richard's skeleton, they could actually, you know, do this whole little forensic thing, figuring out what wounds he had. He had 11 wounds. 9 of them were on his head.
Oh, my God.
And the back of his skull was chopped off. Fuck. So he lost his helmet. They cut off part of his head. My God, that was brutal. They just kept whacking at him.
Well, okay, I'm Welsh.
Well, you know, they're fierce.
Yes.
Apparently.
And I'm also a York. So there you go.
Right. Yeah.
How that happened,
you're,
I don't
you're
know.
You're on both sides.
I'm on both sides of the battle. But Stanley rode in off the mountain, off the hill, right? He was up on the hill.
Yeah.
So Richard didn't know when Stanley was coming. Richard didn't know whether he was.
Which
side Richard
he
thought
was
he was coming to
yeah.
his aid.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he didn't.
And he didn't. Nope. And when all was said and done.
A lot of horses were.
Oh,
I bet a lot of horses were sacrificed in the Battle of Bosworth.
Hence, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. There probably weren't any around.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Like,
they were all.
They're all being trampled and, you know, shot full of arrows and yikes.
Yeah.
And when it was all over, of course, Richmond commissioned all these songs and poets to write things about it. And about there's something called The Ballad of Lady Bessie that talks all about killing Norfolk. I'm like, oh, yeah?
Usurper!
Jerk.
Unifier between both houses, Lancaster and York.
Yes,
but
good.
My God, usurper.
Yeah.
Usurper.
Yeah.
Usurper.
And that signaled the rise of the Tudors. And the
yes,
Tudors
right.
kind of signaled the end of the Middle Ages in England. It started to be the beginning of the Renaissance.
Right. And so Richmond is Henry Tudor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a big change in terms of English history.
But he still was a usurper.
Yep. And a milksop.
Well, according to Richard.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I drink to that.
Oh. Yeah. Chin chin.
Yay. Mm. All right.
Let's do it.
Shall we? You going to be Richmond? Be the good
sure.
guy? Be the king? Be the usurper?
I'll be the usurper.
All right. So if you recall, we actually cut Act 5, Scene 3 in the middle because it was so dang long with the ghosts and all that stuff. So we saw Richard wake up and he had that whole, oh my God, I had a horrible dream thing. Am I a murderer? And this is Richmond waking up now. All right. And all of his lords are coming to wake him in his tent. Good morrow, Richmond!
Cry mercy, lords and watchful gentlemen, that you have ta'en a tardy sluggard here.
So
in
he's
other words,
sleeping.
I'm sleeping. So you woke me up and, oh, jeez, I, you know, I lie abed.
Mm-hmm. And they're all like, fine with it. How have you slept, my lord?
Oh, the sweetest sleep and fairest boding dreams that ever entered in a drowsy head have I since your departure had, my lords. Methought their souls, whose bodies Richard murder, came to my tent and cried on victory. I promise you, my soul is very jocund in the remembrance of so fair a dream. How far into the morning is it, lords?
Jocund. I feel like he likes that word. Hasn't he said that word before? Yeah. Yeah. Be thou jocund. Or was it Hastings? Somebody used that word before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cried on victory. Cried on is actually like a word for dogs going after a scent. So it's it's got that feeling of like
I'm toasting to Diana's imitation of a hunting dog.
Hunting dog.
Chin chin.
Yay. So he's like, oh, I slept so well.
I burped. Yeah.
That's inevitable.
Sorry.
Fairest boding dreams, good predicting dreams. And so we have the word dreams, right? Something's gonna change. How far is it into the morning? Upon the stroke of 4. You
why
slug
then,
a bed. You slept all the way till 4 a.m. How dare you?
Why then, 'tis time to arm and give direction.
Okay, and then the stage direction says, his oration to his soldiers. So this is his...
Because we wouldn't have known that, right?
Yes, right.
Right.
His battle speech.
More than I have said, loving countrymen, the leisure and enforcement of the time forbids to dwell upon. Yet remember this, God and our good cause fight upon our side. The prayers of holy saints and wronged souls, like high-reared bulwarks, stand before our faces. Should we stop there?
Sure.
Okay.
So who's on their side?
God and the saints.
Of course. And the wronged souls.
Yes.
Yeah. So he starts out by saying, we don't have time for me to make a long speech. But here I go.
And then he makes a long speech. He's kind of like...
What's his name? What is his name?
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Oh, Pompilius. Polonius.
Polonius? Popple.
I was going to say Pompous Lonius. Pomponius.
I don't know why his name went right out of my head. But
right out of my head.
Right out of my head.
With the cider.
Yep.
So all of those people are standing between us and the enemy, right? High-reared bulwarks is like walls raised against the siege stand before our faces, like between our faces and those bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard, except those whom we fight against, had rather have us win than him they follow. For what is he they follow? Truly, gentlemen, a bloody tyrant and a homicide. One raised in blood and one in blood established. One that made means to come by what he hath and slaughtered those that were the means to help him. A base. Foul stone made precious by the foil of England's chair where he is falsely set. I must stop there.
Yeah. So this is an interesting, a weird turn of phrase. Richard, except those whom we fight against. So meaning except for Richard, everybody else that we're fighting everybody against else. Wants us to win. So says right. he.
So says he.
And I think also this truly gentleman is not a throwaway. He's like, he's making a lot of who these people are who are fighting for him. He's like, you're
countrymen,
you're important people, gentlemen. Countrymen, yeah. gentlemen. And you're going to see Richard say absolutely the opposite. Right. So we're fighting against a guy who's a murderer and a tyrant and yeah.
He's right. only on the throne because he killed people.
Yeah.
All right.
One that made means to come, like there's accusations here, stamping extra coins so that he could pay for his, you know, debts and all of this stuff. Base foul stone. So he's a, you know, ugly, not a jewel, the opposite of a jewel, but made precious by the foil. The foil is a thin sheet of metal that was used to set off a jewel to advantage. So like the piece that goes around it that makes it look nice. And that's what he's calling the throne. So Richard's only looks like a king because he's actually sitting on a throne, but otherwise he's really not anything good.
One that hath ever been God's enemy. Then if you fight against God's enemy, God will in justice ward you as his soldiers. If you do sweat to put a tyrant down, you sleep in peace, the tyrant being slain. If you do fight against your country's foes, your country's fat shall pay your pains the higher.
I like that. Fight and fat. I really heard those two words stand out, right? Yeah. So we had.
But also enemy.
Yeah. We had God's enemy, right? Twice at the end of the line there. So we're really bringing in, you guys are fighting for God. God believes in you. There's so much God in this speech. You'll see.
Right. God's enemy, God. Like he, in the first three lines, he says God three times.
Yeah.
Holy Trinity.
Yeah. And even more than that, because he started, God and our good cause fight on our side. So it's more, it's like lots. Yeah, your country's fat shall pay your fire. Your hire, that's your country's abundance. But he's like bringing it in because usually when you sweat, you're fat too. So he's like, you're going to sweat, but it's okay. But notice all the ifs too, right? He doesn't know what's going to happen here. His army is half the size. So he's there's a lot of uncertainty.
If you do fight in safeguard of your wives shall welcome home the conquerors. Mm-hmm. If you do free your children from the sword, your children's children quit it in your age. Then, in the name of God and all these rites. Advance your standards. Draw your willing swords. For me, the ransom of my bold attempt shall be this cold corpse on the earth's cold face.
Yeah, nice. So we have again, if you're fighting for your wives will welcome you home. If you fight for your children will live to have more children and your children's children, right? Your grandchildren are going to repay you for this because yeah. Everybody's going to get to live good, long lives. Yeah. And then he brings in this, for me, the ransom of my bold attempt, because there was this thing like, you know, if the fight was going badly, the king could, or the leader, whoever it was, could be like, I yield. And then that person, being a noble person, would have been taken into custody and treated well, probably, and then ransomed back to somebody who would pay for him. So he's saying, I'm not that dude who's just going to go, oh, gosh, this is not working out. I surrender. Fuck that. You're going to take it out of my cold, dead hands. Right. Thank you, Charlton Heston.
Oh dear.
Earth's cold face is gonna be where my cold corpse lies. I don't know what
this right. So if the ransom will be my dead body.
My dead body. And you'll
my
know
dead body.
When you hear us do Henry V, which we will definitely do, there's this speech written better in Henry V later. Yeah.
Yes.
Because Henry says the same thing.
But I thrive.
Sorry, I was just reiterating your butt. Yes, toast to butt. Yay!
Toast to butt.
Toast to butt.
Okay.
Yum.
But if I thrive the gain of my attempt, the least of you shall share his part thereof. Sound drums and trumpets boldly and cheerfully. God and St. George, Richmond and victory.
Da, 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 da.
And off they run, swords held aloft.
Yeah. So God and St. George is also something that Henry V cries. It's like the cry of the rightful king. Who's St. George? Aaron?
Dragons?
The dragon slayer guy. Yeah. Yeah. And so he's the patron saint of England.
Okay. I got dragons.
You got dragons. That was good. Here, toast to dragons. Woo!
Toast to dragons. I knew he wasn't the guy who got rid of the snakes in Ireland.
Nope, that's St. Valentine. No.
I think it's Patrick. Patrick,
that's the guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he leaves making this battle cry that's usually reserved for the king.
I have a question.
Yes.
Not that you'll know the answer, but so why is there a dragon on the Welsh flag?
Maybe the Welsh were the dragons.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up.
You look that up.
I'm going to.
I apologize to my Welsh brethren for slaughtering the pronunciations herein. The story begins with a battle. Vortigern was a Celtic king searching for somewhere to build a castle, eventually finding a spot he liked on the hillside of Dinasemrys. The problem was, the castle's foundations kept falling down. A young boy, believed to be Merlin the Magician from the legend of King Arthur, told Vortigern the reason his castle would not stand is because the site was located directly above an underground lake where two dragons lay sleeping. Upon digging the ground, Vortigern's men found the lake, as well as two dragons, one red, one white, who promptly woke from their long sleep and began a ferocious battle. Although the white dragon was dominant for most of the scuffle, the red dragon ultimately won the fight. What this meant. The young Merlin told Vortigern the Red Dragon represented his people, native Britons, in their upcoming battles against the invading Saxon armies, who would become the Anglo-Saxons. While the origin story might sound like myth and mystery, an excavation of Dinasemrys in 1945 showed evidence of a lake and a fortress dating back to Vortigern's time. Maybe dragons are real after all. This is excerpted from Wales.com. Should you be curious.
Simrun. What does it say on the...
Shimru, however you pronounce that.
Cymru Ambith.
I don't know, because Welsh is really hard.
Yeah. Usually it has way more consonants than that. That at least has a vowel.
Yeah.
You be Ratcliffe for now.
Oh, I'm the rat. Yay. Yeah,
the rat.
Yeah.
So enter King Richard Ratcliffe, attendants and forces. Richard, what said Northumberland as touching Richmond?
That he was never trained up in arms.
He said the truth. And what said Surrey then?
He smiled and said, the better for our purpose.
He was in the right, and so indeed it is. Dong, ding, dong. 10 o'clock there. Give me a calendar. Who saw the sun today?
Not I, my lord.
Then he disdains to shine, for by the book he should have braved the east an hour ago. Ah, black day will it be to somebody. Ratcliffe!
My lord!
Notice he's calling him and he's right there. He's like,
yeah.
Nope. Remember, he was a little agitated at the end of the last scene. Yeah, so it's the same. And a calendar, by the way, is an almanac. And then that's when he says, by the book, he should have braved. He's looking at the almanac like, shouldn't the sun have been up an hour ago? What the fuck? But he's not seeing the sun. And historically, it was a very, very foggy day. And that added to the problems of the battle. And, you know, could have gone against him maybe also. Okay. The sun will not be seen today. The sky doth frown and lower upon our army. Yeah, you hear it? Lower.
Oh, my God.
It's a repeat from the beginning, the first speech.
All the clouds that lowered upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried.
Yeah, well, the clouds are back.
Yeah.
Damn it all. Damn it all.
But wow. Yeah,
that definitely brings back that first speech. It's like you said, full circle when we came on. And then he's mentioning the fog again. That's with the dewy tears. I would these dewy tears were from the ground. So I wish it was actually dew and not fog. Mm. Not shine today. Yeah. Why, what is that to me more than to Richmond? For the selfsame heaven that frowns upon me looks sadly upon him. Here comes Norfolk.
Arm, arm, my lord, the foe vaunts in the field.
Come, bustle, bustle, comparison my horse. Call up Lord Stanley, bid him bring his power. I will lead forth my soldiers to the plain, and thus my battle shall be ordered. My forward shall be drawn out in all length, consisting equally of horse and foot. Our archers shall be placed in the mists, yes, also the mists. Yeah, so
in the midst of the mists, mists
and coldest frost. That's a voice warm up that we do, by the way, which we should have maybe done now because my tongue is dripping. Yeah, so he's gonna actually tell you exactly how it went, and this is all from history. It's so funny, you know, like there's a very detailed account from some dude named Hall who wrote this all down. My forward shall be drawn out all in length, consisting equally of horse and foot. Our archers shall be placed in the midst. John, Duke of Norfolk, Thomas, Earl of Surrey, shall have the leading of this foot and horse. They, thus directed, we will follow in the main battle, whose puissance on either side shall be well winged with our chiefest horse. This, and St. George to boot! What thinkst thou, Norfolk?
Okay, wait a second. Comparison.
Yeah. I mean, dress it up fancy. Remember how Hastings had his horse all dressed up fancy before he went and got himself killed?
And also, bustle, bustle is funny. Yeah. Bustle, bustle.
Yes, you have all these clothing references, which is fun.
Yeah.
He's like, hop up, move, move.
Yeah. But also, so what he's saying is we're going to line up and we're going to have half of that forward grouping is going to be on horse and half of them are going to be on foot, and the archers will be in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And then Norfolk and Surrey will lead the people on horse and on foot.
Yeah.
And then we'll follow them
in the main battle. Yeah. So I said Norfolk charged in first, right? Yeah.
Yeah. St. George to boot.
That means we also have St. George on our side, right? So both of them have invoked St. George.
Yeah.
So whose side is he on?
Well, but Richmond, to be fair, said it correctly, God and St. George.
Oh, yes.
That's
Richard
the cry.
Richard is just saying, we also have St. George. No, this is just Richard talking to his captains. He's not, he hasn't made his oration to the soldiers yet.
Okay.
He will.
And Norfolk. A good direction, warlike sovereign. This found I on my tent this morning.
Yeah, so he's showing, he's bringing a paper, and this also was historically true, to Richard to show him something that somebody left tacked up to his tent. And it reads, Richard reads it, Jockey of Norfolk, be not too bold, for Dickon thy master is bought and sold. Little riddle there. So Jockey of Norfolk is Jack of Norfolk. Jack is a synonym for John. So John Norfolk, be not too bold, for Dickon, which is also a nickname for Richard, thy master is bought and sold. So this suggests the opposite of what Richmond just said about ransom, that Richard already sold the battle for a pardon. So somebody's trying to tell... Somebody's trying to tell Norfolk, don't go into this battle because Richard already sold, you know, he threw the battle. He's going to lose on purpose and because he bought a pardon from Richmond.
Well, that's fucked up.
That's
fake news.
That's some fake ass shitty news because Richard would not do that.
Nope, he would not.
No, he would not. And I just poured myself a little more bramble. And Richmond wouldn't part. Yeah, he'd be like, no.
Yeah, right. It's bullshit. No. But so this is what they do. They sow the seeds of
discord and revolt.
Well, they sow the seeds of confusion,
and
right?
Doubt.
If I can't believe, right, doubt. If I can't believe my guy who tells me what he's saying is true, then who do I believe? I can't believe anybody. And if I can't believe anybody, then that's what's happening in our goddamn country. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm drinking to that.
Well, I'm going to drink to Jockey of Norfolk because he didn't fucking believe them. So, yeah.
Good for Jockey of Norfolk.
I give Norfucks to you, man. All right. And Richard calls it, right? He says, a thing devised by the enemy. Go, gentlemen, every man unto his charge. Let not our babbling dreams affright our souls. Conscience is but a word that cowards use, devised at first to keep the strong in awe. Our strong arms be our conscience, swords our law. March on, join bravely, let us to it pell-mell. If not to heaven, then hand in hand to hell. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Fuck yeah.
Rhyming couplet.
Love that one. And the word pell-mell, this is the first instance of this phrase, because now I feel like people use that. Oh, let's go,
yeah,
pell-mell.
Sure. Yeah.
It means, you know, with a vigorous start, like, yeah, charge. So now is his oration to his army. And notice the very difference, very different from Richmond's, okay? So he's talking to the guys now. What shall I say more than I have inferred? Remember whom you are to cope withal, a sort of vagabonds, rascals, and runaways, a scum of Bretons and base lackey peasants, whom their o'ercloyed country vomits forth to desperate ventures and assured destruction. Yeah.
So you're fighting vagabonds, rascals, runaways, and scum.
Yeah. And they're not welcome in England. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Scum of Bretons, like those people from Brittany over there that are pretending not to be French, but we know they're fucking French.
Ah, you can't fool us.
And we fucking hate
French
the French. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And their oracloid country, their overrunning country, and then we have the word vomits. Oracloid is like the stomach of a glutton when he's just eaten too much. It's gross.
Like in that Monty Python skit.
It's only wafer thin.
Exactly.
And then you got these words desperate and destruction right there, totally asking for it, and they're gonna get thrashed, man. So now where we had Richmond saying notice the difference here. You sleeping safe, they bring you unrest. You having lands and blessed with beauteous wives, they would restrain the one, disdain the other. And notice disdain is spelled D-I-S-T-A-I-N. So stain, which means rape, outrage, right?
Yeah.
They're going to, all of her dress will be stained and everything with their horrible splooge. Yeah.
Ugh.
And who doth lead them but a paltry fellow, long kept in Breton at our mother's cost? Now, this is actually a mistake. He should have written brother, but every script says mother. It's not mother. He should have written brother because it's Charles, Duke of Burgundy, was actually Richard's brother-in-law. He was married to Richard's sister, Margaret. And yet he harbored Richmond for years. Jerk.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he's talking about Richmond being laid up at the court of Charles, Duke of Burgundy for years and years while we've been fighting in the trenches. And where the fuck was he?
Yes.
A milksop. One that never in his life felt so much cold as overshoes in snow. Let's whip these stragglers o'er seas again. Lash hence these overweening rags of France, these famished beggars, weary of their lives, who but for dreaming on this fond exploit, for want of means, poor rats had hanged themselves. So he's like,
"Rally,
yeah, we're going to kick their asses." This guy has never fought a battle. He doesn't know how this is done.
Yeah.
So he's like, we're going to totally kick their asses. These overweening.
Yeah,
I love that. That means too high reaching. They have been too ambitious and they are not going to get this today. These famished beggars, weary of their lives. They're tired of their life and that's the reason they're here. Because we're going to kill them. Who but for dreaming on this fond exploit for want of means. If they didn't have this dream to sustain themselves, they would have killed themselves long ago.
My goodness. I love
this speech. It's great. Okay. If we be conquered, there's his if we be conquered, let men conquer us, and not these bastard Bretons, whom our fathers have in their own land beaten, bobbed, and thumped, and in record left them the heirs of shame. Yeah, I'm drinking to beaten, bobbed, and thumped. Yeah,
and thumped.
Woo! Yeah. So bobbed is thrashed, not only beaten but thrashed, and thumped is fucked, and which is like comes in the next because heirs of shame.
Yes,
it's like the men themselves had to live in shame, but it also implies the bastards that they left behind by fucking their wives. Yeah. Shall these enjoy our lands, lie with our wives, ravish our daughters? Hark, I hear their drum. Fight, gentlemen of England. Fight, bold yeomen. Draw, archers, draw your arrows to the head. Spur your proud horses hard and ride in blood. Amaze the welkin with your broken staves. Woo! Terrify the sky. Right? So, I'm sorry, but if Shakespeare didn't love him, why is he giving this speech?
Yeah. It's a great speech.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a much better speech in that if back then. Yeah. So yeah, he doesn't finish with God and St. George, but he finishes with amaze the welkin, terrify the sky.
Yeah, well, maybe if he had talked about God instead of the sky, he might have won. Just saying.
Okay. Yeah. And here comes the messenger.
God and St. George.
Yeah.
My lord,
Stanley? Will he bring his power?
My lord, he doth deny to come.
Off with his son George's head.
And my lord, this is Norfolk, my lord, the enemy is past the march. After the battle, let George Stanley die. We don't have time to decapitate him right now.
Yeah,
just
not
let
right
it
now.
Be.
Yeah.
we gotta move.
And that's the gamble that Stanley took. He's like, I'm just gonna push it just long enough. Holding out until the battle started, and then he commits himself. Need a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Richard. 1,000 hearts are great within my bosom. Advance our standards. Set upon our foes. Our ancient word of courage, fair St. George, inspire us with the spleen of fiery dragons. Upon them, victory sits on our helms.
Okay, but again, St. George, but no God.
Yeah, yeah. Our ancient word of courage, that's our battle cry, fair St. George, inspire us with the spleen, so the wrath of dragons. So he's like, make us feel like the dragons. But unfortunately, I feel like this implies that they are the dragon, which is the one that St. George killed.
Inspire us with the spleen of fiery dragons.
So let us be.
Yeah.
Right?
He just got it wrong.
He got it a little
and,
wrong.
And God was like, yeah, no.
Yeah. No. Sad. Mm-mm. So, alarum and excursions. That means, you know, battles going back and forth. Enter Norfolk and forces fighting.
Cush.
To him, Catesby.
Oh, I'll be Catesby.
Yeah.
Rescue my lord of Norfolk. Rescue. The king enacts more wonders than a man, daring and opposite to every danger. His horse is slain, and all on foot he fights, seeking for Richmond in the throat of death. Rescue, fair lord, or else the day is lost.
Yeah. So that was a quick, like, run through. Catesby's like, please help, Norfolk, please help. He's like, yeah. And then alarms again, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, and enter King Richard. A horse! My kingdom for a horse!
Withdraw, my lord. I'll help you to a horse.
Slave, I have set my life upon a cast, and I will stand the hazard of the die. I think there be 6 Richmonds in the field. 5 have I slain today instead of him. A horse! My kingdom for a horse. And out he goes.
Never. So there were people dressed up as... There were people dressed up as Richmond.
Yeah, 5 others, and he killed all the other 5 except for him. Mm. Bummer. That was often done. Like, commanders often had decoys dressed as them.
Well, we still do that. When Marine One, the helicopter that carries the president, flies, it always flies with 2 other decoys.
Oh.
And no one knows which one the president is in. So you always see Marine One in 3s.
It's like all the guys taking polyjuice so they could be hairy when they flew off in different directions, right? To avoid the Death Eaters.
Mm.
Yes? No?
Yes.
Harry Potter reference. Come on.
I know. So I stopped being interested in Harry Potter when my kids lost interest. Oh. And so I don't even think I saw the last movie.
Dang.
What was the last one called?
The one when Harry gets old.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you should see it. It's the end. Oh. You gotta see how it all ends.
I have no idea how it all ends.
Yeah. But my kids have never lost interest. My kids will watch a Harry Potter marathon and now.
Well, J.K. Rowling is...
I know, problematic.
And
but you can't.
We have a really hard time with her in this house. They love the stories.
Yeah.
They hate the author.
Okay.
I'm not going to say they hate. They don't hate. But they are wounded by her actions.
Yes.
Because
indeed.
They were huge fans.
Yeah.
And then they feel she turned on them.
I agree. Yeah. So... Yeah, speaking of turned on them, slave, I have set my life upon a cast. No, a roll of the dice. So Catesby's like, just run away. And Richard's like, fuck no. I rule the dice, and I'm going to take whatever the dice give me. A horse. Give me a horse. I just need a horse.
But my kingdom for a horse.
Yeah.
You think it's just a turn of phrase, or do you think he says he's meaning something by that?
Yeah, well, I feel like he feels comfortable, maybe very much like Macbeth, he feels comfortable being a soldier. This I can do.
Yeah.
All of this politicking and jockeying, that all sucks. But this being in the battle, I can do, but I need a fucking horse. Yeah?
Yeah, I just think it's an interesting way of saying it. I'm drunk.
Tell me about your thoughts on my kingdom. We're almost
well we talked about it before, and I just, you know, I mean, clearly he's not running. That was what I said earlier in the episode where we talked about this line. But I mean, he's like, I've cast the die, I'm standing in the, you know, I'm standing here, I killed the 5 Richmonds. I don't know where the other one is. A horse, my kingdom for a horse, my kingdom. Why is he saying that? My kingdom. He could say almost anything else, but my kingdom for a horse. I would trade my kingdom for a horse.
Yeah.
I would trade it. So why that? He says it twice.
Yeah.
He says it twice, not just once. My kingdom for a horse. I want a horse so badly, I would give up my kingdom. I mean, is it just a matter of pride? I would stop being king if I could just get a horse and kill Richmond. I don't know.
Or keep fighting.
I don't know.
You know? Whether it's kill Richmond or just keep fighting. I'm going down as a king. Because actually, in the historical record, the phrase that is written down that people will say he said is, I will, like, in the middle of this battle, that I will die. I will be a king at the end of this battle, or I will die a king. That's what he says. So he's like,
okay,
if I am taken, or if I run away, I'm not king anymore.
Right.
If I can keep fighting and they kill me, I was king until I died.
Okay, but then why my kingdom for a horse? It feels like he's shrugging off his kingness to hold on to being a soldier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think that could probably be true too, because he knows it's the end.
Yeah.
He knows it's the end, but he wants it to be an end of his own choosing.
Yeah. Okay. Moving along.
So the stage directions for scene 5 says, alarm, enter King Richard and Richmond fighting. King Richard is slain. Richmond didn't kill him. Richmond didn't kill anybody. He actually did not fight at all.
What did he do?
Richmond, he hid, as discussed previously. He hid amongst his bodyguards.
He jumped down off of the...
He had Oxford lead the battle. He didn't fight because he knew he didn't know how.
Can I just say, drinking cider, hard cider, on an empty stomach?
Uh-oh. And I'm drinking entirely too much bramble. But it's yummy. It's like dessert.
I have to send my children out to get El Cunhao because I don't think I should drive.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make them do it. Okay, Richmond.
Oh,
take
your
country.
Here I go. God and your arms be praised, victorious friends. The day is ours. The bloody dog is dead.
And Stanley says, courageous Richmond, well hast thou acquit thee. Lo, here, this long usurped royalty, from the dead temples of this bloody wretch, have I plucked off to grace thy brows withal. Wear it, enjoy it, and make much of it. So he's pulled the crown off of Richard's cleaved-in-two skull. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the dead temples of this bloody wretch.
Yeah, he's definitely, his like whole head is mangled. And here's the
crown.
And
so the crown is bloody.
Yep.
Wear it, enjoy it, and make much of it. Mm. You know, long usurped royalty. Fuck that. Richmond is a fucking usurper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drink to that.
Yeah. Burr. God. I'm angry.
Grr.
Roger Mortimer was supposed to be Richard II's heir.
Right.
That's it.
Damn it.
Okay, here we go. Richmond. Great God of heaven, say amen to all. But tell me, is young George Stanley living?
He is, my lord, and safe in Leicester town, whither, if it please you, we may now withdraw us.
What men of name are slain on either side?
John, Duke of Norfolk, Walter, Lord Ferrers, Sir Robert Brackenbury, and Sir William Brandon. So Brackenbury we met, right? He is the guy who was in front of the tower. I have no idea who this Ferrers guy is, but John, Duke of Norfolk, my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy. And then Sir William Brandon was apparently the standard bearer. Listen to this. For Richard, he was Richard Standardbearer, who held the flag that said the king is here. He had his legs cut off in the battle, both of them, and he still held the flag up until they killed him.
Wowie.
Fucking A.
Wowie. That would not be me.
No.
That would not be me.
I would be like, owie, my legs.
I would be sobbing and yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. Richmond, inter their bodies as becomes their births. Proclaim a pardon to the soldiers fled that in submission will return to us.
Yeah, he's already
royal
taken
us.
Us.
And then, as we have taken and then as we have ta'en the sacrament, we will unite the white rose and the red. And he did. He married Elizabeth, and they became the Tudors.
Right.
Smile, heaven, upon this fair conjunction that long have frowned upon their enmity. What traitor hears me and says not amen?
Yeah, I like the word conjunction because that's like the union of the stars. Once two stars are in orbit around each other.
Mm. All right, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
England hath long been mad and scarred herself. The brother blindly shed the brother's blood. The father rashly slaughtered his own son. The son compelled been butcher to the sire. All this divided York and Lancaster, divided in their dire division. Oh, now let Richmond and Elizabeth, the true succeeders of each royal house, by God's fair ordinance conjoin together. Have sex.
More God. Yes, our God.
Yeah.
I like the true succeeders of each royal house. Not bastards or pretenders. No, no. Right.
Well, except Elizabeth, for Richmond.
Right. Elizabeth was declared a bastard, though, earlier in the play.
Yes, by Richard, though.
Yes.
And
historically,
and
too.
Then he wanted to marry her anyway. But, like, come on now, true succeeders of each royal house. You're not that true, even if you follow the Lancastrian line.
Yeah. He's so far off of it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's why he has to, like, it's true because I said so.
Right. It's true because Queen Elizabeth is in the audience.
Yes, right. And I'm her grandpappy.
I guess right. And let their heirs, God, if thy will be so. If your will is that I stick my dick in Elizabeth and she gets pregnant.
That's right.
Enrich the time to come with smooth-faced peace. That's hard to say. Smooth-faced.
Yeah.
Smooth.
And also face. That is imagery coming back from the first speech too. Remember? Grim-visaged war has smoothed his wrinkled front. Yeah.
Yeah. Enrich the time to come with smooth-faced peace. With smiling plenty and fair prosperous days. Abate the edge of traitors, gracious Lord, that would reduce these bloody days again and make poor England weep in streams of blood. Let them not live to taste this land's increase that would with treason wound this fair land's peace. Oh, that's a rhyming couplet.
Yeah.
Increase peace.
Yeah, increase
now
peace.
Now civil wounds are stopped. Peace lives again. That she may long live here. God say amen.
Amen, brother. So we have peace three times. Like, it will all be fine now. I'm going to go marry Elizabeth
sex with my
and
wife.
All will be well. And we will have lots of babies and one of them will be Henry VIII and then he will have no babies and one of them will be Elizabeth.
Here's to you, my
liege. Here's to you, your majesty. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Smooth-faced peace. Lots of rhyming couplets there at the end. Increase peace again. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are done with civil war and this is all going to be
fine. The houses
have
been united and all is right.
All is right with the world.
Yeah. So I have a question.
Yes.
People called king my liege, liege lord, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What about a queen? Can a queen be my liege?
I wonder. That's a good question. I don't know.
And what was the thing I said I was going to look up? Because I've completely forgotten it now. I said I'll go look something up.
We could go back through the notes to see.
Oh, dear.
I don't know.
St. George the Blue. Hey, morning.
Well, I'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out when you go back over it.
When I'm not drunk.
Oh, well. Well, that was fun. Oh, I'm sorry to say goodbye to Richard. Such a good character. Yeah. Yeah.
And for an early play, this is so well written.
Yeah. And that's the next one we're reading in Shakespeare for All.
Richard III?
Yeah. It comes right after Titus. Interesting.
Oh, you're going in order?
Yeah, we're going in Stanley Wells's chronological order. That's what we're doing. In order of the Oxford Shakespeare. Yeesh. Because different people have different ideas, you know?
Yeah, but so I'm glad that we're doing Titus after Richard then, because we're keeping them together.
Yeah, generally together. And you guys have lots of fun in store, because that is a bloody, bloody slasher of a play.
There's some great things in Titus Andronicus.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But it's brutal.
It's brutal.
We'll do a lot of content warnings in that one.
Yes. Whoa, ugly. It's because it's Romans, man. The Romans were a bloody bunch. For God's sake. Not gods. No gods. No gods for the Romans. I mean, you know.
Lots
rough
of gods
ones,
for the Romans.
Many gods who didn't care if you lived or died, as long as you did what they said. Lived or died.
That's right.
Lived or died.
Lived.
To the Romans. Yay.
To the Romans. This is my last little guzzle of cider.
Of,
here we go.
What is it? What is that again?
It's cider, and my kids are going to have to go pick up the food.
That's okay. Kids have got to be good for something.
Yeah.
All that childbirth. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's worth some
food. That's a whole nother thing.
That's a whole nother thing. Well, this was fun.
It was.
Yeah.
I get to see you so soon.
I know. I'm so excited.
I know.
So don't forget, y'all.
You guys.
We're taking a week off after. And back with season 3.
Yeah. And you guys have followed us each time we're apart and back together again.
Yeah.
And what happens?
We get loony. We can have a drunk Shakespeare to open Titus also.
But let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Oh, the other thing we could do, depending on when we record, we could have Liz and Marjorie read parts too.
Yeah, sure. That would be fun. Slash or play.
Marjorie would feel about that.
Marjorie would fall asleep after we have. Sorry, Marjorie, but you will. She'll have one glass of wine for the drunk Shakespeare part and be like.
But Liz would be in.
Yeah.
Liz would be down.
And Liz has been on the show before, so there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up, because
okay.
I can just keep rambling, because I like hanging out with you. But, you know, they don't necessarily want to hear all our blah, 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 blah.
Oh, well, you know, they're used to it by now. Okay, bye, guys. Be back
we'll
with season 3. We'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Ciao, ciao.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.